verses 13 to 14. No one who conceals transgressions will prosper, but one who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Happy is the one who is never without fear, but one who is hard-hearted will fall into calamity. The second reading comes from Acts chapter 8, verses 14 to 25. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. The two went down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet the Spirit had not come upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain God's gift with money. You have no part or share in this, for your heart is not right before God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and the chains of wickedness." Simon answered, "Pray for me to the Lord that nothing of what you have said may happen to me." Now, after Peter and John had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, proclaiming the good news to many villages of the Samaritans. Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. Great to see you today. I'm not the preacher today. I'm going to ask Tracy to come up. Tracy's preaching to us, first time in the English service. Tracy's been on staff as an intern throughout this past year and has made an incredible contribution, especially when you consider that she's an intern, but she really punches above her weight with what she does here at St. Tom's. She has preached before a couple of times with the in the Cantonese and the Mandarin service, and is also in a preaching group at St. Tom's. It's been a really big year for Tracy. Tracy's been studying at Ridley. She's here a lot of the time as well, doing various ministry roles. And I'm really excited, happy for Tracy to be preaching today. And of course, English is not your first language. It might be your third language, maybe second. But she's still very accomplished with English, that's for sure. But I was just thinking about this morning. Probably some of our greatest preachers and missionaries within the church have done a lot of their ministry in a language that is not their first language. It's quite amazing. Even the Apostle Paul and the writings of the New Testament, probably his second or third language. I'm going to pray for Tracy now, and we look forward to hearing from you. But first, this passage from God's word. Whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God. Whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for Tracy today, and that as she speaks, she will speak your very word to us. As she serves, that she will serve with the strength that you provide. Fill her with your Holy Spirit, we pray. And we pray that we would receive ministry from you through her. We pray that you will be glorified through what she shares with us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, John. Good morning, everyone. So, John introduced me already. My name is Tracy. And a little bit more about me. I have three sons, as many of you may know. Noah, Enoch, and Zechariah. Sometime, some people added my husband, Hans, as the fourth son. Well, I would say all of us are pretty active at church, especially Noah. Some of you may know, Noah started playing piano 2023. He started in the Cantonese service and the Mandarin service as well. I take my hat off to him because it's not easy. First, piano is difficult. Second, he doesn't understand the language at all. So as a parent, I'm very thankful that God has given Noah this opportunity to serve him at church. Whenever he needs to play the piano, I will go through the songs with him because he doesn't understand, right? So I'll be telling him what the song actually means, what it's trying to say to God, or what it's trying to say to other people. Making sure he understands it is not a performance for him, but it is a time. Particularly his time to serve God. Thanking God and worshiping God for his love and salvation. So as a young man, Noah has lots of questions. You guys know that. One time he asked me this question. He asked, "Will God be happy and love me more when I play the piano at church?" To be honest, my heart broke at that time. When growing my kids to love and serve God in any way possible they can, when teaching them the Bible, I forgot one very important thing. It's to constantly remind them God's love and salvation is always here. Of course, God is very happy to see Noah serving him. And of course, God is very happy to see Noah pouring his heart out and worship him. And sure, God loves to see all his children serve him with anything they can. But the only way to heaven, to go back to God, in a way my children will understand, is to have faith in Jesus and repent. The passage we read today talks about someone, Simon. Simon wanted the power of laying hands. He wanted to be able to pass on the Holy Spirit to whomever he laid his hands on. That's what he asked Peter for, the power of an apostle at that time. So when we look at it today, we find it ridiculous. We're like, hey, Simon, that's Peter and John is different, right? But however, we look at it in Simon's perspective. Simon was a musician. He was pretty good. Earlier in Acts, it says, people in Samaria were amazed and followed him around. They pay attention to him. They even call him someone great. Sounding familiar? Who knows? Maybe he was the Taylor Swift at his time. So Simon was actually in show business. And in the show business, as many of you may know, if that's enough money, there will be a show. And if you pay money, you can even buy the tricks, buy the little secret they have. So when Simon saw this new believer receiving the Holy Spirit after Peter and John laid their hands on them, what do you think Simon would think? It would be like when I saw our amazing admin doing the slides in some really smart way. I was begging to her, like, can you please teach me how to do that? That was Simon's reaction too. He wanted to learn how to do what Peter and John did, but he didn't want to learn it for God. He wanted to add this amazing ability up to his sleeves and be even more amazing. He wanted this trick of laying hands help him advance his career. His intention was not for God. His heart was not for God. It was for the world, his world. So Simon added the way his world would function. He wanted to buy the ability of an apostle. This is normal for him, even normal for the world around him or even the world at that time. Was it correct? No, not in God's eyes. We can see Peter immediately replied to him, saying, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry, because your heart is not right before God." Wow. No part or share in God's ministry unless the heart is right before God. Then what is a right heart? Something I'm very conscious when doing ministry. Am I doing it for God? When doing anything at church, from standing in front of people to being alone somewhere working, I constantly remind myself, everything that I do, anything that I do it because God loves me. Still remember the day, the moment I became a Christian. My thought was, what a sinner I am. Why am I deserve this love from God? Nothing. There's nothing I can do can repay this love. But the good news is, God doesn't need me to. He doesn't need anyone to pay off his love. Jesus already did. In the same way, the gift of God cannot be bought by any of my action, because the gift of God is free. It's also a privilege granted by God. In our passage today, Peter is talking about the power that was given to the apostle. But isn't it the same when it comes to God's mercy and love? God's mercy and love leads to our salvation. To decide whether to take this gift or not, we have to make a choice. Then we have to make a move. We have to believe and then repent. Just like what Peter told Simon, to repent from his wickedness and pray that his intention could be forgiven. It is a very difficult thing to do, not only needing to admit there is a wickedness, but also needing to let go of control and let go of whatever we know humanly possible, to just trust in God and pray for his forgiveness. Despite how unimaginable it sounds, that's what salvation is. No matter how wicked human beings are, God loves us and forgives us. To believe in Jesus, and based on that belief, we repent from the wrong thing we have done and rely on Jesus' blood. A famous example, Charles Fondin, who here knows him. So this guy, he's really good at something he does. He's really good at walking on a tightrope. He walked almost 50 meters above the waterfall all the time, and then he would do it in a bag, he would do it riding a bicycle, sometimes he would do it while cooking an omelet. I don't know how he does it. I can't even cook it properly when I'm standing still. So one time, he walked across the tightrope up above the waterfall, backward with a wheelbarrow, blindfolded. So people just watch him in amazement. They're just like, wow, this guy is, wow. Then Blondin asked, who believes that I can carry a person across this tightrope in this wheelbarrow? Everyone was like, yes, we believe you. Yes, you can do it. Yes. But then when he dropped the real question, who wants to go in the wheelbarrow? Well, I have to say, no one make a noise. Good for him, later on that year, Bondi's manager put his hand up. At the end, he piggybacked his manager across the waterfall. Pretty crazy, right? His manager, I mean. Like, saying you believe is one thing, but acting on that belief is another thing. Blondie's manager demonstrated real trust by his action. He let go of what he knows. He let Blondie take over, and just based on the faith he has, he hopped on Blondie's back. Then what is our action if we truly believe in Jesus, became human, suffer, and die for us, just to save us and carry us across this impossible tightrope? We let go of our understanding of life and world and maybe physics. We let go of our own control in our life and expectation and desire. Just like Bondi's manager, we simply just rely on God and let him be in control. We embrace God's grace and let Jesus come into our life to change us from the inside, from our heart. And then all this will lead to repentance and change in hearts and our understanding. The concept of repentance can be easy to understand for certain people because some sins are just, you know, obvious and easy to identify, right? But life is not black and white. Most of the people are considerably good. To be honest, the people we walk past every day, our neighbors, people in our workplace, at school, even at church, these people are considerably good, meaning they are nice people, they're caring, sometimes they can even be noble in the worldly eyes, like Simon in our passage today. He was someone great, and he was someone powerful. So, what do we need to do? And what to repent from? Peter said in Acts 2:40, from the corrupt generation. A few months ago, we talked about the things we do on earth, the trespasses, when we follow the way of the world instead of God. When we follow the way of evil, we are corrupted. We are away from God. Hope you remember, Susan preached that one. And meaning that if we acting out the world, we became part of the worldly world, not godly world. In the passage we talk about today, Simon was a great example of following the way of the world instead of God. The intent of Simon's heart was not for the benefit of God. It wasn't for the benefit of God's kingdom and God's will, but it was for Simon's own gain. We can see his intent of heart was not on God. It was the world, his world. However, it is not only Simon. In fact, everyone on earth cannot help but be part of this worldly world. Because we have no control of it. We're here, we have to make a living. In a way, we're forced to participate in these worldly acts. We have been taught by the world to focus on our own achievement, advancing our own career, to make ourselves look better. That's why, surely, there's no one on earth so righteous as to do good without ever sinning. We live in a sinful world. But when we accept Jesus as our Savior, when we welcome him into our life, his grace started to change our hearts. This change will lead to repentance in action. Repentance is like taking off the old clothes and putting on some new clothes. For the considerably good people, what we need to do is take off the worldly us and say goodbye to the intention that are worldly. And based on the faith we have in Jesus, we focus on God. Yes, money can buy lots of things. Money can solve lots of problems. It can buy a good house, good education. It can travel the world to see everything that God created. In the world of social media and commercial, enough money can even buy happiness. But this is how this world functions. The fact is, money cannot give anyone eternal happiness, cannot give life or peace. Money cannot buy the ticket to heaven. It might buy you a ticket to Bali, but not heaven. Because no amount of money or service could pay off the ugly side of us. No matter what we do, we cannot cleanse our dark side. But if we forsake our way to repent and return to the Lord, he will have mercy on us because he will abundantly pardon. The price of salvation has already been paid by Jesus' blood for us. With the help of Holy Spirit and Bible, we know what is right and what God wants us to do. We change in heart and behave the way God wants us to behave because of his grace. And with lots of prayer and support, we do what God wants us to do, say goodbye to all the ungodly things the world might agree on. We turn our eyes, our head, and most importantly, our hearts to God. Just like what Karen talked about 2 weeks ago. We run back to God as he welcomes us with open arms. Not because what we can do running back to him, it's because God loves us. He opened his arm and welcomed us back to him. What we need to do is like that kid who adored Karen so much. Eyes on God, focus, and run. So, go back to Noah. Although serving a church makes God happy, but playing piano at church would not make God love him more. Why? Because this love is the same for everyone. No matter who you are, and no matter what you do, it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter if you know how to play piano or not. It certainly doesn't matter what you can do for God. God loves us the same. He loves you as much as he loves the person who can do a million things at church. All he cares is your heart, the intention of us doing anything. He cares why we do it. Just to be clear, I did talk about this with Noah. So it is always easy to understand when it's just theory. But really, what does that mean if you're not a Christian? Good news. We have this eternal life and take it to heaven here for you from God with zero cost. Something you cannot buy, no matter how rich you are or what you do. But God is giving it to you. All you need to do is believe in Jesus, that he's the one who can wipe away all the wrongdoing you have done and promise you a new life. With the help of God, you will have a new life, a godly life. The best thing is that we have a series of talks running from mid-February by our lovely Karen. It's called Introducing God. It's a great way to get to know this salvation and how to be part of this amazing ministry. But if you cannot wait for 2 months, it's simple. Just talk to one of our ministry team members. We have John here and Joshua here today. I'm sure we're happy to answer any question you have. Now, if you already are a Christian, believing in God, what is the takeaway of today? Remember Charles Bondi? If we say we believe Jesus, do we trust that he can deliver us safely to heaven? Can we let go of all our control, our understanding, and trust that Jesus is enough to deliver us? And if we believe, are we acting out our belief? The first action we need to take is to turn away from the wrong things. Even the okay things in the world, because they're worldly, not godly. And one thing very important. In this world, we can always trade an object with another object. Just like Simon. He must be very used to buying tracks off other magicians. But in the world of God, there's no need of trade. No one can buy the grace of God. No one can pay off God. All the things we do in serving God is not because we want to make it up to God or for what we have done. It's certainly not try to make God love us more or give us something. Whatever we do, however we do, We should do it for God. Our hearts and our intention should be God, not us. As 2023 is coming to an end in a few hours, can we start turning away from the worldly intention, but to focus on godly intention, to put our intent and our heart on God for his kingdom and his will. May God help us all.